If you could flip a switch and feel calm on command, would you use it? Good news, you can train your brain and body to do just that. Every athlete knows what it feels like when their nerves hit, right? The heart racing, hand sweating, thoughts spinning. But calm isn't just something you either have or you don't. It's a skill that you can train. In this episode, we'll talk about how to recognize your personal signs of stress, using the stoplight analogy to gauge your emotions, and learn a few simple tools to flip your comm switch so that you can get back in control when it matters. Welcome to Confident Calm and Clutch Car Rides Conversations. I'm your host, Valerie Alston, here to help parents and young athletes spark meaningful dialogue about mental toughness, resilience, and confidence. Whether you're headed to practice, a game, or just running errands around town, this podcast is your go-to for building stronger relationships and lifelong skills, one car ride at a time. Let's dive in. All right, so one of the many things that athletes come to me for when their parents bring them to me for coaching is dealing with the anxiety and the nerves of performing. Recognizing, that practice in non-pressure games, they seem to be more free, better able to play. But as soon as the pressure is on, or as soon as they care about the outcome, their child doesn't have the ability to regulate, to get their body back under control so that they can be effective. And so it's important to have the tools to be able to calm your physiology, right? To calm your mind, calm your emotions, so that you can, in fact, be productive when you're trying to perform, especially in pressure situations. So the first thing to recognize is really we don't all experience calm the same way or nervousness the same way. Now, there's some general things that tend to be true for most people, things like tight muscles, fast heartbeat, shallow breathing, shaky hands. Maybe mentally there's a lot of racing thoughts, tunnel vision, overanalyzing your mistakes. Maybe centered around emotions, it could be a little bit of frustration, irritability, potentially fear. And so the goal of this is to really understand a certain amount of those feelings and sensations can be really productive. A little bit of fight or flight can be really helpful, especially in the physical tasks that are involved in playing your sport. You can't always just be super calm, right? Sometimes you need that activation to be able to have your body do the thing it needs to do, okay? And really what we're talking about here is knowing what ineffective looks like for you. And how do you know you've crossed the bounds of ineffective? So again, it's going to be a little bit different for everybody. For a golfer, they might start to notice it when they're gripping their club too tight, or a volleyball player is rushing their serve after a miss or a side out, something like that. The soccer goalie who can't stop replaying the recent goal that just scored in their head. Whatever that looks like for you as an athlete, being able to tune into what actually works for me mentally, emotionally, physically, and what doesn't. And so, in order to flip your calm switch, you need to understand when you're not calm, okay? So, analogy that can help with this is it's just like a stoplight. When you're driving and you come up to a green light, what do you do? Right? You keep driving, right? Things are good. Your thoughts, your emotions, your physiology is where you need it to be. You're in a state that is going to be effective for you to complete the task. So, that could be calm, focused, confident. A basketball player might feel in rhythm, like they're able to read the defense clearly. A swimmer stroke is just feeling smooth. Their breathing is easy, something along those lines. And so it's in those moments that you have to tune in, you're recognizing all systems are go, right? You're green, no, there's no issues. Your mind, your physiology, your emotions are in a place that is going to be effective for you to perform. Okay. If that's the case, right, you don't need to do anything. You don't need to flip your comm switch because your body's already where it needs to be. Your mind is already where it needs to be. Now, yellow lights when you're driving, for instance, you come up to a stoplight, these are a little bit tougher. This is our caution, right? Because if you have, when you get in the car and you get to a yellow light, you do one of two things. You either stop, slow down, or like me, you drive faster to get through it. But ultimately, you have to make a decision, right? You have to decide, is what I'm thinking, feeling, doing not helpful? Like it's like this idea of it could go either way. And I need to make a decision whether to just push through or maybe I do need to slow down and stop and do something different. Okay, so this might be mild nerves or frustration. It's not necessarily bad yet, but it could need attention, right? Maybe a pitcher who's rushing your delivery after a walk, or maybe a gymnast who's feeling a little more jittery than normal before getting on the beam, something like that, right? It's not so bad that you're like, I'll stop, but it's enough. And so those yellow lights are times where you got to just pay attention and see what's going on. How could this potentially impact me? But sometimes you don't have to do anything, okay? Now, red lights are your definite, like when you're driving, obviously, and you come up to a red light, you stop. Because if you don't stop, what happens? Bad things. You're gonna crash, you're gonna cause accidents, you're gonna, like, bad things happen when you run red lights. Same thing in yourself, right? If you have red lights, so your physiology is out of whack, you're overwhelmed, your thoughts and emotions are working against you, your physiology is out of whack, you can't control it. So this might look like a tennis player slamming their racket after a double fault or a bad unforced error, a soccer player arguing with the referee and losing focus, right? Those are clear indications that I am no longer in control. My body has taken over. I am not in a place where I can perform well. Okay. And so the key with understanding this analogy is there's not one right thing for everybody listening to this podcast. And it also depends on what sport you play. And so the key answer here is that there's no one right response. But for you as an individual playing your sport, you really need to understand what your red, yellow, and green lights are. And once you know what they are, you can tune in and recognize I'm in some red lights or potentially some not helpful yellow lights. And if that's the case, then I can do something to regulate those responses or acknowledge them and just accept them so that they're not taking over, okay? And that you can get back to a place where you can be effective and perform. So there's a couple strategies you can use to flip that switch, turn on that calm switch when you're recognizing maybe some yellow or red lights. Now, we have talked about a few of these in other episodes, but we want to talk through it a little bit more fully. So the most important thing, quite frankly, is your breath. And your breath is important physically, mentally, and emotionally. It is the body's default reset mode. When you take a moment to pause and take a nice, big, slow, deep breath, what it does is it has the potential to reset your physiology, help you refocus mentally, and potentially, depending on what you're doing with your emotions, it can help you regulate your emotions too. Okay. And so, what we're looking to do here is breathe in through your belly, taking a nice, slow inhale through your nose, usually for about 4 seconds, is right for most people. Okay, somewhere between 4 to 6 seconds is a sweet spot. You got to play with it a little bit, but and exhale out through your mouth. Okay, and you want to make sure that exhale goes all the way out, like letting all of that air out. You want to try to relax your shoulders and relax your face. And so you've probably seen many athletes do this, especially the pros. They have learned that the breath is one of their most powerful ways to just reset their body. Okay. And there's science behind that. There's the two big ones is it enables you to, that deep, slow belly breath enables you to enact or initiate the parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest. Right. So it helps your physiology literally come back down to baseline. But the oxygen also, often when we're in fight or flight or when our nerves are too high, we're breathing very shallowly and we're not getting as much oxygen into the system. And we don't think as clearly, we're not as focused. So that bigger, deeper breath enables our lungs to take in the oxygen that we need to actually function. Okay. So your breath is going to be one of the biggest things that you can do to really physically reset your body to a place that's effective. Now, again, the goal isn't always a completely calm heart rate because you're still physically acting, right? You're still doing stuff in your sport. And so you're not always going to be, at your resting heart rate. And then often that won't make sense. But let's say you've figured out through time that heart rate around 120 beats per minute or something is ideal for you. But if you're at 180, that's probably too much, right? Not gonna go well. So again, the idea here is you have to understand your physical indicators of too much. right? That's past the point of being helpful for you to perform your sport. And when you feel them, taking that big, slow, deep breath. One breath probably won't be enough. You might need to take two or three. Okay, but this is something you have to actually train. If you've never taken a nice, big, slow, deep breath before, you're not going to get as big of a switch flipped because you have to train that response. Okay, so the more you can, for example, the more you can, every time after you do physical activity and your heart rate is elevated for physiological reasons because you've been running around, practice really taking two to three deep, slow breaths to see if you can lower it down a little bit. Right, and what that does is that physical activity induced heart rate mimics that stress response, mimics that nervousness. It's not the same, but it's enough to get you to practice the breathing. And if you can, anytime after you exercise, take two to three breaths and get your heart rate down a couple beats per minute, right? That's what we're looking for. Now you're regaining control over your physiology and enabling your confidence to come back out and enabling you to take control over your body and be more effective in your performance. Okay, so breathing is important. Another opportunity is to use a reset cue, like a mental trigger, that helps your brain refocus away from the nerves or the things that you're feeling. Or we acknowledge that some of your red lights might be what you're choosing to focus on. We talked about this a couple episodes ago, like if you're having what if thoughts. So often, if your thinking is chaotic or you're thinking about the wrong things, ineffective things, it makes it more difficult for your body to get in line, for those nerves to go away, because you're focused on the wrong stuff. So having a reset cue, a word or phrase that you use that reminds you to come back to a mental state that is productive for you. So this could be a short phrase or action, something like next play, you got this. The action could be some sort of like wiping your hands, wiping your forehead, pounding your chest. It can be anything really, but just something that's very deliberate. And often you see basketball players, for instance, do this before free throws. They do some sort of, they bounce the ball, they spin the ball, they do something with the ball. It's like a physical cue. You usually see the effective ones take a breath too, but there's this deliberate like thing they do physically that helps them reset and get focused on taking the shot. Okay. And so having a mental cue can be really helpful. Now, there's times and places where actively trying to manipulate your body can be counterproductive because now you're so focused on your body, you're not necessarily paying attention or you're giving power to those sensations. So sometimes another opportunity, and you're going to have to just play with this, there's not a one size fits all, is to just focus on a body anchor, a sensory focus. And what I mean by that is it's a mindfulness approach that you're just bringing awareness back to something that is neutral. And so this could be a simple physical cue, like the feel of the ball in the hand, the feel of your glove, wiping as a baseball or softball player, like wiping the dirt with your cleats. It's a physical sensory experience that kind of helps you reset and bring your body back down to baseline. And so having that sensory restart can be really helpful too. Just bring you back to the present moment and let go of some of that excess that's happening in your body. All right. Now, an optional bonus is to also imagine yourself calming down, all right, using that mental imagery that we talked about last episode to help your body calm down as well. Going to your, if you just recently watched Happy Gilmore, the new one came out. Going to your happy place, if you will. You can combine a lot of these things that we're talking about in these different episodes, but the switch is understanding, acknowledging when your body is not where you need it to be, you need to use a physical, a mental, or sensory reset to bring yourself back down to baseline. And typically it's going to be through breathing and focusing on something, thinking about something that's helpful for you. Okay. So calm isn't just a physiological state, it's not the absence of nerves. It's feeling in control over your responses. Okay, so it's not directly tied to heart rate because, again, playing sports, sometimes your heart rate needs to be elevated, but you want it to be elevated helpfully, not to a state where you can't do anything. Okay, so your calm switch gets stronger every time that you notice your lights are changing from green to yellow or yellow to red, and then making a choice to reset and come back to a more green state. Okay. And because you can't always control the moment you're in. And sometimes stuff gets thrown at you and you're like, whoa, okay, now I'm nervous and it's okay. Or now my body's doing things. Sometimes it's just after a big play. Maybe you had to run around a lot. You need a moment to resettle your body to get back to a state. There's a timeout or the ball goes out of play or something, and you just need a moment to be like, okay, get my body back to a place that's more effective. But if you feel that you have a couple techniques to do that, then you're going to be more in control of yourself, which enables you to get your body where you need it to be able to perform. All right. So those are some ideas on how to flip your calm switch, is understanding when are you not calm and how do you get back to it. So let's get into our conversation for today. As always, a reminder that as you're having these conversations today, there are no wrong answers. Make sure you're taking turns talking and listening. Try to minimize your distractions as best you can. And remember that you can pause after each individual question and discuss it, or you can listen to all of the questions and just discuss the ones that make sense to you. All right. So what I'd like you to talk about first in our first question is what, especially for the athlete, what are your personal signs that tell you you're starting to lose your calm? So in your mind, your body, your emotions, what are your yellow and red lights? We'll say yellow lights, okay? How do you know you're moving out of green? Okay. And maybe parents, are there things that you observe about them when you're watching them play that could help them understand what that looks like for them? What do you notice when you're watching them? Okay. Second question. Can you thinking back to a recent time where you were in a red light moment? So your body, your mind, your emotions were out of whack. They were in a place that was not helpful for you. What would you, knowing what you know now, what could you do to get back to a yellow or green next time? So if this happens to you again, what would you do? How would you gain more control over your body and your mind? Question three, which of the calm strategies that we discussed, either the breathing, the reset cue, or the body anchor, do you think will work best for you? You have any ideas on that? All right. And then this one, our final question is really for your parents to help you is how can they help notice your lights, your red, yellow, green lights, and maybe remind you to reset without making it worse. What would that look like for you? Well, one, talk amongst yourselves. How does your parent know that you're green lights? Like, help your parent understand what it feels like for you or what they might observe externally so they know, okay, they're starting to move into some green lights, or excuse me, yellow lights or red lights. Okay. And then most importantly, what can your parent do to help? Within reason, acknowledging that they're not always on the field with you, or what could they do from the sidelines that you would actually find helpful? Again, the goal is not to make things worse. All right. So talk about that amongst yourselves. But again, there's many right answers to all of these questions. Make sure to keep those conversations rolling and let's make those car rides count. Thanks again for joining me on Confident, Calm, and Clutch Car Ride Conversations. Again, if you found this episode helpful, please share it with somebody in your community that you think, maybe another parent or coach or athlete that you think could benefit from this episode. If you individually are looking for more tips and mindset shifts and conversation starters to help your athletes stay confident, calm, and clutch, consider joining my newsletter at www.confidentcalmclutch.com/newsletter. And if you're looking for additional topics or something, if there's things that you want me to discuss that I haven't talked about yet on this podcast, I welcome your feedback. Please, in the show notes, there's an opportunity to message me. You're welcome to reach out to me and share some ideas. You can also reach me on Facebook and Instagram at VAlstonCoaching and send me a DM if that's something you want to do. But I look forward to hearing from you if that's the case. All right, y'all. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next time.